so disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories, to mark themselves confound, in his strength the more is. No foe shall stay his might, though he with giants fight. He will make good his right to be a pilgrim. Since, Lord, thou dost defend us with thy Spirit, we know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away, I'll fear not what men say. I'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God is faithful. You're going to hear, praise God, by his grace, what God's grace has done, through your prayers, through your giving. Oh, praise God. I went out penniless, my own resources. Kim will testify to that. Absolutely penniless in terms of what I had, and the same spiritually. 30 years of what seemed complete failure and a waste of space in the natural. I landed there, the aeroplane did, and I was hoping to feel an anointing, because others have testified that as soon as you don't feel anything, but when you get to the airport, you feel an anointing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The first couple of days was spent travelling and just recovering. And on Sunday, we had two meetings. And I began to be aware of the Holy Spirit moving as I began to speak, just the message, you know what the message is. Now, this church is just over a year old, 13, 14, something like that, 15 months. And if you look at the people, when you're speaking, it's something like this, like that, just anything but listening. And I just began to be aware that, okay, some may be born again, but there's death here. They're not alive. They're not alive like they should be. Carried on speaking. But God had put something in my heart. So the two meetings came and went. And on Monday, so I had two meetings on Sunday for the church and three or four, five meetings during the week with the elders. Went back there. And the first thing I was confronted with was a little girl with malaria. I knew I had nothing. What can I do? And it was just at that point. Now, don't misunderstand this. I'll say it and then explain it. God put something in my heart. A baptismal experience. A new anointing. Like I became a new man, a different man. And I knew at that point I was ready to die rather than see her go away unhealed. Jesus put his heart in me, not only for her, for that flock, for all of them, for you. I knew at that point how Jesus felt, how he could have given his life. For years before that, because it was a struggle I was having, how can you, so holy, so pure you cannot even look at sin, how do you do it? How did you give your life? How can you love? How can you do it? Not an intellectual question, because I really wanted to know how to love. I really wanted to know from God what love is all about. And I knew I wasn't doing it. Forgive me for withholding that from you. When Jesus gave me that baptismal experience, he gave me a shepherd's heart, and I knew how he felt. I was willing to lay my life down for those sheep. But not just laying my life down in a reckless or religious way, but in giving me that shepherd's heart, I knew how he felt. But my life's work was to appropriate his life for those people, because it's his life that saves. His death reconciled us, but his life saves and heals, preserves and protects us. His life redeems us, which was poured out at Calvary. From that point on, while I was ministering, that I was under attack. The devil doesn't just sit back, that's another story. I couldn't fear and I couldn't doubt when faced with the needs. Just God was present, the power of his spirit was present, his heart was there. I lost all fear. I knew that the Holy Spirit, he has the heart of a shepherd. And he delivered me from a fear, a wrong fear of the Holy Spirit. He's the blessed comforter. He's the advocate. He stands in our place in the courts of heaven. And his love, his grace, his power, his ministry is to see to it that we inherit all that Jesus died to buy for us. That's his passion. That's his work, that's his being. And I saw there, just the Lord opened my eyes spiritually. I know we know it theologically, but the Holy Spirit, the faithful and true witness, come to fulfill the Father's predestined will for that church through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I saw God at work in his fullness, experienced it. You knew that that was a divine appointment. He met mightily with that church. So, while that was happening, baptismal experience, a new anointing, my heart filled with nothing but God's love. Just prayed a simple prayer over that little girl. There was another one, there was three of them. They isolate them straight away, put them on mattresses, out in the searing heat and dust, under the shade of a tree, but it's still hot. Just leave them there to either recover on their own or whatever else would happen, because they have no money. They have no money for medicine. Another one had a chest infection, bellyache, I think, or something, and a headache. What is a headache? What is a stomach ache? I don't know what it was. Did not know to this day what it was. But they were just lying down there, sick. Prayed for all three of them. Went back the next day. Where are they? Oh, they're all up. Come back to school. Except for one. The same girl that I prayed for malaria. I said, she's up and about. Why is she back? She's afraid that it'll come back again. So I rebuked the spirit of fear, prayed a prayer that God would love and protect her, and off she went. Praise God. That day, we prayed in the pastor's the elders meeting. Very few in the church, like a church of about 60, maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 had received the Holy Spirit. Pastor hadn't. People in leadership hadn't. There were about nine, 12, anyway, in the room. Taught from Why Speak in Tongues, just showed them the word, no resistance. We began to pray, just went around the room, in the name of Jesus, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. All received. Just no resistance. There was one slight resistance. He was fighting, struggling. Took authority in the name of Jesus. They all received, all began to speak in tongues. And straight away, Mark 16 applied to them. They began to minister straight away. And one of the orphans, chest infection, the pastor, I said, "Pastor, you pray for her." So she put her hands like that. He laid his hands, healed straight away. Began immediately to understand why God had filled them with the Spirit. On the following Sunday, the entire church received the Holy Spirit. We just moved amongst them. Same prayer, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They all started praying in tongues. The whole church is now filled with the Spirit. And it's a different setup. The life of Christ is there. So praise God. They've received the message. Deeper life, faith, overcoming. Just lapping it up. Short sermons, not like you get here. Short ones, but really powerful, direct to the point. They receive it. Prayer meetings are interesting. If we've got three items, they last about 20 minutes. But you're aware of the power of the Spirit. They pray to their capacity, and the Holy Spirit is honouring that. God is answering. Just faith is working. Remember, they're only a year old as a church. Abraham has been saved 7 years. A few, 14, 15 months ago, God put into his heart, "I'm going to plant a church through you." That day, he got his friends together and began to act on that. Perhaps he should have waited. Perhaps he should have waited a bit on the Lord, but zeal, whatever, obedience, began to get his friends together. Church was formed the day God put it in his heart. That was about 15 months ago. Praise God. They started an orphanage. There's now 30 children there. Some are actual orphans whose parents died. I don't know the full reason. Some are orphans because their parents are too poor to look after them. So they take them to the church to be fed and nurtured and educated. They are members of the church. They see them every Sunday. And there's no shame, there's no reproach. Their dedication, their love for their children is that they want them to have a better life, even if it means they can't look after them. Five adults, two men, three women, look after those children 24/7. They're all married, not to each other, but they have their own households. And they haven't been home for 15 months because they're looking after those children and they don't get paid. Do it for nothing. Ours is not the only orphanage. They're not the first orphans, they won't be the last. But when you meet them, when you're involved in that, it's a different story. And you just understand God's love, God's grace flowing. If you're going to look at the words I used, you know me, you know where I am, roughly in the faith. All I can say is that I knew God's love and God's power would not fail them. Whatever blundering mess I may have made of it in terms of the words, I knew my God will not fail those people. God's love cannot fail them. And that's the only faith that I had. There were many, many healings. Praise God. Another girl laying on the ground. I saw her from a distance. She just took out a mattress or a blanket. Just lay down on the ground. I was stirred in the spirit. I thought, Lord, is this you? I called, come. And as I went over to pray for her, she was in tears. Again, it was a stomach ache, but I don't know what the nature of it was. She was incapacitated and in pain. Do you believe? Yeah. Receive in the name of Jesus. Went back to the car. 5 minutes later, the blanket was gone. The next day, she'd gone to a sports day and participated in a school sports day. Another person, pastor's brother. Can you come and witness? Can you come and witness to my brother? I want him saved. Now, generally we're taught that you don't specify times and dates and things that are going to happen here. You can't do it in the UK. But out there you can. There's just the freedom of the spirit. And we drove there, and then the news came that he'd had a motorbike accident. He'd come off and he'd badly injured his left hand, badly, bones in it were fractured. We need to take him to hospital. So we drove, waited 5-10 minutes, nothing. What's the matter? He's refused to go to hospital. Now, bear in mind, this is an unregenerate person. And I knew then we were dealing with a spirit of fear. He doesn't want to see you. Just leave him alone. He doesn't want you to pray tonight. We'll go back tomorrow. So I went back. Now, the Lord had set something up previously, which had taught me in this situation that was a divine appointment. I knew what the Lord was saying. Went in there the next morning. He could hardly walk. Just managed to drag himself to the chair. Couldn't even sit up. Just the Lord gave me the words to speak of Calvary, redemption through substitution. Jesus died in his place. You received Jesus as Lord and Saviour. You received the baptism in the Holy Spirit because he spoke in tongues. And I then said, give me your hand. So he gave me the hand, he could move, he was like this. So he gave me that hand, thinking I was going to greet him. I said, no, the other one. And he could hardly stretch it out. So I just held it like that, because he was in absolute agony. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. It wasn't an instant manifestation. He dragged himself back to bed. I didn't even deal with concussion. So the Lord's in control, right? Less than an hour later, he was up, running about, walking, loving the Lord, confessing the Lord, part of the church, speaking in tongues, healed. Another woman. The Lord showed me there was a particular thing in her life. She had typhoid, but she needed to confess. She went to the hospital, but she didn't have the money for the medicine, so she walked back. I had the money in my wallet for the medicine, but I was travelling. We were travelling in the opposite direction, couldn't get to her in time, so I knew what the Lord was saying. They didn't even have a phone that they could contact, so borrowed my phone. Tell him that these things happen for a reason. So she was a married woman. Tell her husband, these things happen for a reason. If she will confess, God will heal her. So pass the message on. pastor gave his wife the message, I'm going to give you a couple of hours and I'm going to give you time to confess, seek the Lord, confess, I'll come back and you will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. She spent some time seeking God. He came back, prayed for her. She was healed, so confessed that sin, repentance, healed of typhoid. Praise God. That day, instant. I had to wait a day to hear the news, but he said, I wanted to get hold of you, but I didn't have a phone. My wife was healed instantly. God just doing it. I knew by then that God had set things up. Everything that I was going to encounter, I knew was a divine appointment and God would take care of it. Many, many healings, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some financial provision, which I'll come to that later. We did water baptisms. Again, the elders first. They didn't know anything about anything. And then the whole church, I'm sure, is now being baptized as we speak. In the name of, not the name of the Father, but in the name of, Amen. And up they come. God saw it immediately. No resistance to the truth. One guy cut his head quite badly, a small cut, but gave him a lot of pain. Prayed over that, pain went. A lot of this, many people have done much more spectacular things. This is, you know, we're not the only ones, and people have done in the natural far greater things. But it's the message. It's the message. They're taking the message of the cross to heart. And that's what God is starting. I don't know whether you want to call it a move of the Spirit or revival or restoration, but God met with them, birthed something through, and now set them on the right direction. You can see God meeting to rescue and preserve those people. An SDA man, Seventh-day Adventist, heard about what was happening. They talked to their neighbours, you see. That's why the church grows from 57 when we started. There's nearly 70 there now, just in a few weeks. Because they talked to their neighbours. Come see what God's doing. SDA guy heard, and he was outraged. He says, we read in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, but our church doesn't teach us that we can actually experience an encounter with him. This is my church now. Praise God. Youngster, my interpreter, Duncan, 17, 18, he still goes to college. He was an ex-SDA, and he was in one of their meetings. They talk about peace while they continue with their witchcraft and their tarot, and he stood up and spoke what Jesus said, I've not come to bring peace but a sword. And one of the elders stood up and said, young man, stop, sit down, stop, how dare you speak the truth in this place, how dare you, stop immediately. And he did, and he just finished with a prayer, went home. A couple in the congregation wanted to encourage him, took him to their place, and he'd heard that the elder had invited him for lunch, for dinner. And he said, I'm not going to go because you told me to stop preaching. I'm not going to eat with you. Now this guy insisted, so he, by the hand of somebody, one of the members in the church, he sent the dinner to him. And he still refused to eat it on principle, threw it out on the street. Dog came along and ate it. Within a few minutes, was dead. Poisoned it, tried to kill him. God's preservation. It's real out here. And what struck me was their total love. They're open. They're the same on the inside as they are on the outside. They love God. They love one another. And it was just so evident that their lives only matter to them that they can serve Jesus. And that's why the Lord met with them. In many ways, they're more advanced than we are. In many ways, we're more advanced than they are. And I can see the Spirit bringing us together to that day. On the day that the Lord comes for his church, we will all go up together. But they have a love, they have a commitment. Even in the natural, their circumstances are more biblical than ours. Because they know how to care, they know how to share, they give. They love unconditionally. The three ladies, three women that are looking after the children, through worry, through concern about where the next meal will come from, developed stomach ulcers. And they didn't tell me about this until the last day I was there. Prayer meetings are interesting because they don't know that they can ask God for things. They just accept their daily lot as a gift from God, and they still love him, they still praise him. They have a thing. God is good all the time. No matter what they've got, no matter what they haven't got, no matter what they go through, you'll just hear God is good all the time. They were in pain. And they said to me, if you pray for us, will the stomach ulcers go? I said, do you believe it? And they said, yeah, yeah. As soon as they said yes, just that anointing, be healed. One of them the next day came back again. I got real pain. Really hurts. And she was in pain. I didn't think anything was wrong. I think maybe there was more to do. Rebuked a spirit of infirmity. And then the next day, praise God, just smiles from ear to ear. Total manifestation, completely healed of stomach ulcers. They need to be taught about financial things, about not worrying, about no anxiety. And the Lord did. The Lord met with them. But it's all for care of the children. Food is not guaranteed. It's a daily battle. Through your generosity, your sacrificial giving, 30 hungry orphans are saying thank you. But they showed me what a day was. And after what they do, they walk to school, young children, an hour, some are 5 kilometres away. So they walk, do their work, come back for lunch, go back again, come back, and then do their homework. Kerosene lamps. Have you ever tried to read or study with the light of a kerosene lamp? The smell, hardly see. And so, praise God, it was an easy decision to make. I could either go enjoy a day at Masai Mara, or I can just praise the Lord. It was your money, so I knew what to do. There's nothing good about me. I know what Jesus meant when he said, the works that I do not of myself, but the Father within me. All it was a solar panel and the stuff that goes with it, battery, current inverter, some bulbs, length of cable. While they were at school, all this was being fitted. And then come the night time, when it suddenly gets dark, we switch the lights on. It's only a light bulb. It's only a light bulb. You should have seen their reaction. It's a life-changing experience for them. They were screaming, they come running in, squealing. They sat down to do their homework in light, where they could read without getting eye strain and without breathing in kerosene fumes. They were so happy. Adults as well, not just the kids, but the carers. Those sacrifice, no money, giving their life carers. Praise God. God has blessed us. God has met with us. God is advancing us. God loves us. Why? Because of a light bulb. Praise God. Many, many healings just became evident that God was meeting with those people. These things that we experience, your prayers that this assembly has experienced, but I was privileged enough to be the one sent out there. It wasn't like I had to think, what choice should I make? Just the shepherd's heart that God put in me was there. It was just happening. It was God doing it. I got a new revelation at the name of Jesus. A new understanding of his love, of his care. Acts 4 and verse 12. You know all this. You know it all. Nothing new. We're not the first ones. We're not the only ones. Won't be the last. But when we begin to experience it, when the Spirit begins to make it part of our life, you know. Acts 4, verses 9 to 12. If this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He's the God not only of the Jews but of the Gentiles. And that which the religious system rejects, and they still do today, those who receive are made whole through faith in his name. And to see the Spirit work, to glorify the name of Jesus, to fulfill the Father's predestined will, is a wonderful thing. No fear, no doubt, just a faith that works by God's love, to see his power work. Yes, it's simple, it's little, but that's what they are. A young, an infant church, basic needs. The bigger things will come. Other ministries, other missionaries, other churches have seen far greater, and no doubt if their testimony were to follow, it would crush me, it would crush mine, it would make mine seem like, well, you know, big deal, whatever. But it's not a big deal, because it, in that sense, it's not a little thing. I mean, sorry, it's big because God was doing it. God was meeting them at the level of their faith, and he's going to bring them, he's given them that vision into the fullness of Christ. What is a trivial matter? What is a big deal? A light bulb. It changed their lives. A headache. They were lying in the heat and the dust, incapacitated. 1 minute and the next minute they're up playing with their children, with their friends. One little girl, I was sitting taking a break, and she just happened to say in English, good English, clever little thing, but I've never seen such sadness in a child's eyes. She said, it's important to have a mother and father. Looked. What did you say? It's important to have a mother and father. My mum and dad were really kind to me, and I miss them. I think about it and cry. All I could do was just cry with her. I eventually composed myself and said, the next time you feel like that, talk to Jesus, because he understands, he knows how you feel. Your Heavenly Father loves you. She smiled. There were big tears in her eyes. She smiled, thank you. And she went off to play with her friends. And I went off to find somewhere. Cry my heart out. There were no tears. It was the Father's love in my heart, just grieving, just being birthed through. And I know God has met with those people. He's adopted them. He's taken them up. And he's given us the privilege. They do not see a need and think the government will meet it. There's an agency for that. People next door will do it. Abraham's mother has taken in two orphans to her place. She hasn't got the room for them, but she's taken them in and she feeds them. The school are in daily need, the orphanage, the church are in daily need of food. They want to start a school because of the distance involved with the kids there and back, the hardship. They want to start a school where they can teach them. They want to teach them because they want them to have a decent future. There's a public school and a private school. They've not got the money for private school, only so they go to the government-sponsored public school. The teachers there couldn't care less. The government pay them whatever. Only the private school have decent teachers because the parents are on their back. We're paying you. What are you teaching our children? They want to go to private school. I said, are they not going to become proud if they get a good education and do well so that they can look after themselves in future? No. No, they cannot become arrogant because of the start in life. They've overcome all these challenges. They know what it is to have nothing. They will appreciate what is given them. Many more needs. Food. Water. There is no hot or cold running water. They have to go to a river. Kids. Tubs to wash, to drink. All they need to do is hook up a pipe from some running water that's a tap that sometimes is there, but they can tap into the main supply. They can have water, but they haven't got the money to do it. They need to expand the church building. Because when it rains and the weather isn't there, they can't meet as a church. It's just benches outside in a little grove. There's no roof or anything. They just meet under the shade of the trees. Great, great needs. Five adults sacrifice, work for nothing, neglecting their own households. They're not looking to us because they will continue, with or without us, doing what they've been doing. They're looking to the Lord. But it doesn't work if people who have don't give. It's all about compassion. It's all about God's love. It's about Jesus who made himself poor to make us rich. He gave us everything. He gave us himself. And that's the heart of the shepherd, to lay down his life for the flock, to stand between them and the wolf. Mother and daughter, again, ill, received healing, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just so many coming for prayer and receiving. forgive me for saying this. Please forgive me for saying this. But if God has touched your heart to give, there's a donation button on the website. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to ask. Forgive me, just for saying that much. Plus, obviously, cash. We can make arrangements. Some of you have my bank details. Give directly. Please just make a reference to Kenya. I've set up an account specifically for it. You are all welcome. They have invited you personally, each one of you by name, to go out there if you want to. They're always asking after us. They mention each one of us by name. How are you? We're praying for you. God bless you. They really care. They are genuine, lovely, open-hearted people. You just share. Come. Whatever they've got of food, it's yours. Take it. Eat it. Come into my house. Everything is covered in dust. And they just carry on. They walk for miles in the searing heat. And they leave the house clean, get to the church, covered in dust. Some with no shoes. But God has met with them. He's begun a great work. The prayer meeting's improved. At first we could only get 5 or 10 minutes. Praise God, but God answered. It's quality, not quantity. As the time went on, we managed to get to maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. But it was quality. You were just aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and anointing. And you know that their loving Heavenly Father had answered their prayers. Now that the Holy Spirit, who is the executor, now that he is beginning to open their eyes to sonship, to what it is to be a joint heir with Christ, what belongs to them, not just open their eyes, but he's actually working, he's fighting for those people to bring about their inheritance. We're going to see a difference. The enemy doesn't like it, nothing new there, he's attacking. Please pray for those babies that the wolf does not devour them. There are some unscrupulous people there who would take advantage, who through wealth are trying to control, manipulate, and even destroy that work. Please pray. And it's using the wealth, it's using their ability to give, and you can just see the pride. Please pray that either God provides so that the control can be taken away from them, or that God deals with them spiritually. God have mercy on their soul. I am believing for repentance, because the people involved received the Holy Spirit and got a deliverance. So I know God is touching them. He was standing there reading purpose of Pentecost, and just a demon just began screaming out of him. He just stood there, Abraham and I, praying in the spirit. The demon eventually left him. His eyes were huge, bloodshot, hard looking. You could see in his eyes. By the time he'd finished, all the blood had gone. Just a softness there. A softness. But a lot of work to be done. There's still the pride, but that deliverance. So that tells me redemption is working over that life. Problems, but redemption is at work. So I'm going to continue to pray for that person. The only ones who did not receive were the ones whose heart were not right with God. And out of 60 to 70, that was two people. That's a different situation. I won't go into details publicly because the details will identify them. I'm believing for their repentance before God. But in prayer meetings, obviously, we'll intercede more specifically, God willing. The whole thing worked because the saints prayed. You prayed and you gave. Some sacrificially, and that's how it works. I'm going to go back, and for a season I'm going to live there. That's what the Lord has shown me. I don't know how or when or the details of how it's all going to happen, but it will. I was saying things coming out of my mouth. Maybe it was the gift of faith, but the Spirit specifying. The whole church will receive on Sunday. You don't do that in the UK. You can out there. And they all receive. Just faith and faith and faith working. Because Jesus had stood in my place. It's like he said, out of the way, vessel. I'm taking over. Praise God. The love of Christ. The compassion, the heart of the Father. And this manifestation of the Holy Spirit's faith, the gift of faith. Turning something hopeless, something vulnerable. Not hopeless, forgive me, helpless, helpless. A baby, a newborn baby is helpless, completely vulnerable. And God met with that, the infant. That infant church got hold of them, and he's going to see the work through to completion, because that's what our God does. I've never been so touched or moved in all my life. Didn't even think about whether or not I should. Is that wise? What's happening? Am I being religious? Just the shepherd's heart to lay my life down for the Lord, for them, before the Lord. Not because my life matters or in any way adds to Calvary, but my life is a vessel so that the life of Christ comes through me to them to appropriate his redeeming life for them until they are in that place to do it for themselves and others. And it won't be long before the UK is evangelized. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers from Kenya and from India are going to come to the UK and put us to shame. They will teach us. They will evangelize. They will, thus says the Lord, us. Praise God for it. What have we done with God's blessings? We've made idols out of it. We've become selfish. It's all about me, my survival, my house, my family, my wants. It's shameful. It is shameful. But God knows. He will bring a balance in the body of Christ. No condemnation. You cannot compare UK with Kenya. One is what one is, the other is what the other is. But God will bring it together. I can only speak of the body of Christ. I can only speak of the villages I experienced in 3 weeks. Nairobi, Mombasa, whatever they are, I don't know. But those villages, those rural villages, no running water, no electricity. The power of God, the move of the Spirit to cleanse, to heal, to deliver, to make sons out of those people. God will do it. God will do it here. There will be a move of the Spirit here too. There already is. The principalities that are afflicting, that are opposing this assembly in this nation, different to what was happening out there. So what God was doing there was right for there. What God is doing here, right for here. No condemnation, no comparison. But as we yield, as we give our lives unreservedly to the Holy Spirit, as that becomes a reality, not a chorus or a doctrine or a good intention, but as we allow God to make it real, we will experience what we need to experience here. Poverty is a curse, no doubt about it. poverty is a curse. They're not spiritual because they're poor. But there's something God is doing there in their lives, in spite of it, not because of it. In spite of the lack, not because of it. They are what they are on the inside because of what God is doing. He's preparing them to receive in a certain way, just as he's preparing you and I to receive mighty blessings from God. He's going to use us mightily. Those things that happened, all those healings, those that received the Holy Spirit, the planting, the moving on of the church, the receiving of the vision, the deeper life, God answered your prayers. Thank you. God changed their lives by your giving. It's ordinary to us. It's ordinary. It's ordinary. I'm not belittling it. Some gave sacrificially. Thank you. But it's changed their lives in ways you can't imagine. A light bulb. It's a great event. I trust it will continue, obviously, as the Lord leads. A lot of it is indescribable. Things would happen to me where I knew God was going to move. I couldn't doubt, I couldn't fear. The Lord just moved. So obviously it wasn't me, it was the Lord. Thank you for your prayers. 30 hungry orphans, thank you. 70 desperate people. No longer as desperate, but they say thank you. God bless you. They are so grateful for their contact with this assembly, which the Lord set up. They want to keep contact. I'm still in communion with Abraham via email. Anything the Lord shows you, speak up. I'll communicate it to him. Praise the Lord. I'm tempted to talk about the scriptures that speak of, you know, faith and love. James speaks of the difference between saying, be warmed, be filled, go in peace, and actually giving. And John, who says, you know, those that have the world's goods, but shut up their bowels of compassion, and it is. You know, how can you talk about God's love dwelling in you? I'm just mentioning it because it's in the Word, but I know, I don't actually have to tell you that. I know God's love is manifested here because I saw it out there. It's only stuff, friends, but it makes such a difference to their lives. Prayer, definitely. Prayer, war in the Spirit against what the enemy's trying to do, the pride of some individuals, the control, the witchcraft, the lying, and the poverty. Prayer that these people would get hold of the message of faith and begin, by God's grace, to feed themselves and others. It's not just needs. It's not just the occasional healing, as wonderful as it is. And it is desperate. Malaria, potentially fatal. Typhoid. They haven't got money to go to hospital. I don't know what those headaches were, what those stomach aches were, but they were incapacitated, lying on the ground, as though, well, if I don't recover, I'll die. They were in pain. And then the next minute, up and about, running at their school sports day. God knows what that was. From that to experiencing the full nature of their inheritance as sons, joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit has met with them, and that is his delight, that is his ministry, that's his work in their lives, to bring them to the fullness of Christ. Them and us together, one in him. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to experience great blessings in this assembly because we can now look outward. We can forget about ourselves. We can truly put the kingdom first. Those people neglected their own houses in order to build the house of God. That's why they're being blessed. When we can do the same, and Lord, build your temple, build your house, a fit habitation for your spirit. When we can actually be so consumed with what God is doing in his, how he feels, the Father's heart about those orphans, about those people, about the church that he's building, which is under attack. And we can forget about ourselves, my roof over my head, my next meal, how I look, how I smell. Because they didn't wash, friends. They haven't got washing facilities. They have buckets of water. Say no more. No cisterns to the comfort that we have. Do I have to go into details? Hole in the ground? Okay, enough, right? That's what they are. They don't care. That's what it is. They have given themselves over to God's will to establish his house. No makeup, no perfume, just clothes held together by dust. Thank you for the shoes. I'm so grateful. Thank you for the clothing donation. They had to choose the greatest need. And there was a great need. It was, their clothes were torn, filthy. The school stuff to write with. You should have seen how happy a few pencils made. What a privilege. What a privilege to experience the Father's heart for those who love him and who have nothing. God bless you, brethren. There's a lot more to say. I don't really know what else to say. Continue to give, especially in your prayers. Your prayers make a difference. You may not feel it, but believe me, your prayers, your intercession, a small percent, or a large, some of you have given sacrificially, whatever you have makes a great difference to them. It's life-changing. Thank you. They really, really love you. They bless you in the name of Jesus. They want you to come out and visit and stay with them. I know I will. Go back again. Please don't tell my mum. I will go out and stay with them for a while as the Lord leads. I belong there. My heart is there. I miss them terribly. I want to go back and make sure they're okay. Thank you.
Amen. Well, God is faithful, is he not? I think he knows how to speak to us, and he certainly has spoken to me this morning, and I believe God is revealing to us the responsibility that he's placing with us. We have been so enriched and blessed over the years with God's word, God's presence, God speaking, how he's maturing and building us up in the faith. But we're moving into a new season where he's beginning to entrust us with the young, the weak, the vulnerable, as we've heard. And I relate to a lot of those things because, to a certain extent, you know, I've had the privilege to be able to experience some of these things also in India as well. And our prayers, intercessions are very powerful before God. And I was very struck as I was listening to our brother sharing this testimony today. we fail to understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and our being able to pray in the Spirit, we hear this so often, but it is that perfect language straight from the Father's heart, from the throne of grace, supplicating, praying, interceding, meeting their needs. There is so much that is birthed through when we pray and intercede. Of course, it's nothing to do with feelings, and we know that, but it's as we take our prayer, our intercessions, whether at the meetings, whether here today, or whether in our closet, they are so powerful before God because it opens the doors to so many other things. And much of our praying and intercession, of course, as we heard, starts to meet those basic needs, which means survival, which we so often take for granted. We now have two outreaches, if you like. We have India, we have Kenya. And here we are, just a handful of saints, people, meeting each week. This would be outwardly more associated with large churches, quote unquote, where you've got congregations of 300, 400, 500, 600 people. And I was very struck as our brother was sharing today how God works in ways past finding out. I am tuning in that when God does a mighty work, he so often doesn't need the numbers to do it. It so reminds me again of Gideon's army. He just needs the right people believing, who love Jesus, and he does the rest. And so often he has to sort out the wheat from the tares, which looks so negative, because how the enemy uses that at times when we see things happen, or those we fellowshipped and shared with for many years no longer embrace or want to share and fellowship with us any longer, or whatever. And we've had our fair share of that, certainly over the years. We've lost more than we have kept. Yet when I hear things like that today, and what has come from our brother, I find it immensely encouraging. Because it tells me that God is with us, he's not forsaken us, even though it's been a bumpy journey and there have been ways that we have gone in this walk that we never ever thought we would go that way. But here we are today, few in number, but Jesus with us. And I was struck in hearing that testimony today. When a match is struck and the light comes from that match, it only requires one hand and one match to do it. It doesn't require 2, 3, 6, 10, 50, 1,000. It all gets in the way. Just one hand, one match. And that's what came out of this today as I listened to that. That match has been struck. The fire is there. And like all fires, it's now spreading. And that is how God does this. And we have a responsibility. I believe, and I will close with this, I believe this is a big stepping stone for this assembly with what we have been entrusted with. We've all of us been entrusted with this. It's not just one man, it's about body ministry. We all know our part, what we're doing, how God is moving through us, what he's saying, what he requires of us, but it's all part of us involved. And I believe this is the next thing for this body. As we remain faithful to this, as God shows us, not just leaving it to one person or to Bob or whatever, but that we all play our part in this as the Spirit leads, this is stepping stones for this assembly in our growth, our maturity, our unity, our oneness, our love. God has entrusted this to us. Don't let's let him down. In what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've all been touched here today. We've been touched by your love. That's what we've been touched with. And it melts our hearts. It deals with sin. It deals with everything that we battle with, where we hold on to self. Your love has a way of just melting things that are not pleasing in your sight. And Father, we want to thank you for the mighty move of your Spirit and how you are and have touched lives there. You've met with them. Lord, you've embraced them. You've received them into the family of God. Father, we see also, even with thousands of miles away, which is nothing to the Spirit, we see also our responsibility. It starts with me. It's not looking to someone else, what is she doing or what is he doing? It's what I'm doing. Here we are, Lord. Our lives are open before you. We desire to be used, both individually and corporately, as the Spirit leads, that we can be part in our ministry of these saints, both in Kenya and in India, growing in the faith. That they likewise take it to others as well. That is what this is all about. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would not fail you in this. We would be faithful. And that you would lead us and you will guide us. And Father, maybe others in times, if you tarry, may go as well. We don't know. Lord, we're praying for ministry to come over. We've already heard we're interceding because Pastor Danny believes that he is to come over at the end of this year. And possibly Abraham may come over. Lord, they have much to share and teach the church, the true believers. It is ministry, it is the five-fold ministry. It is touching. Lord, that wonderful image that you gave years back of the fivefold ministry, how the thumb can touch each of the fingers, that apostolic faith, that anointing. All it is just the touch of the Master's hand, whose name is Jesus, to change lives. Lord, we're open to those touches. We're desperate for those changes. Lord, I thank you in that right time and way you will do it. And so, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for this meeting. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have led by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the saints who have joined us in the meeting today, that they too have been touched with your presence, Father. And till we meet again, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh,
flashes onward, ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. She's on.